I really, in some ways, kind of think that that message has already been preached, not that that's going to slow me down any. But, and as you can see up there, we're going to talk about Jesus, the giver of love, this morning. And several weeks ago, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Christian, 6 weeks, something like that. If you didn't get a chance to hear his message on love out of 1 John 4, talking about verbs and adverbs, and so our verbs and nouns, it's definitely worth, I'm kind of picking up from that and doing some other things, but also we've been talking about relationships, and this is all ties into the relationships. And somebody asked me this week, what is the church? And I said, you know, I think more than anything else, and this is a very simple answer, the church is a group of people coming together in relationship to love each other in the community that they're in. And we can always tell if we have value if the community around us is feeling loved. And if they're not, maybe we need to reevaluate. But in talking with Pat yesterday, I sometimes wonder about that because of my of the size of this church. And as my wife will tell you, I all too often open the door to Satan beating me up. But he kind of shared with us yesterday, just in a nutshell, that he was speaking to Chris and I, but when he was speaking to Chris, I was speaking to us, that we are basically having more impact in this community than we realize. Because it's not just what happens here on Sunday morning, which the church is never supposed to be about just on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a time of coming together to look at the vision of the church, to come together in unity, to worship God together in unity, and to hear what God is saying to the church in whole. So sometimes I hate this thing. Is it okay? You're not supposed to hate people. Is it all right to hate a device? But there's a lot more to it than that, but Jesus is the answer to everything. 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 So like I said, we've been talking about Jesus, we've been talking about relationships, talking about community and family. So let's pray. Father, we so thank you for who you are. We so thank you for the love of God that has been poured out upon us. And it is our heart, Father. It is our heart. And we cry out to you because we need your help and we know we need your help. That we would love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's the second. And the first is to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, with everything within us. That our whole lives would be focused upon you and everything we do. And the church said, amen. Again, the whole Jesus relationships, community, family. And we're going to continue to talk about this because I really think that God, let me just get into this teaching and you'll hear more. But love is what really ties it all together. And again, it's what Christian talked about several weeks ago. So look that up if you haven't heard it. Who here would disagree with this statement? Everybody wants love. Everybody wants to love, and everybody wants to be loved. Is there anybody you know? I have met some pretty rough characters in my life. Riding a motorcycle, you can meet some interesting characters, okay? And they may probably have more respect for me than they do you because I just ride this piece of plastic and metal. That's the only difference. But because I ride that piece of plastic and metal, I have the ability to interact with some of them. And some of them are pretty rough. And a group I'm thinking about joining, I would be about the smallest person in there by about 80 pounds. But I'd feel safe. But it's a Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association that ministers to homeless people. But love, everybody wants to love. I mean, think about all the poems. You know, I was subjected to an English Masterpieces class once and didn't understand most of what they were saying. And most of the time when I heard people explaining what these poems or sonnets were about, I would just stare at them in disbelief and look at them, turn my book upside down, trying to figure out how they got that information. But a sonnet 43 by Elizabeth Baird Browning, "How Do I Love Thee? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Songs are sung about love. I mean, Dionne Warwick wrote this song, "What the World Needs Now." And it's some lyrics is, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." The Beatles, "She Loves You." And have you ever listened to these words? I mean, listen to them. "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." And then listen to these words. She loves you, and you know that can't be bad. Movies, Gone with the Wind, a great love story. Fireproof, Ice Castles. The Majestic, Jim Carrey. The Majestic, you can ask Chris, I ask about every other week if we can watch the movie again. We've only watched it about 7, 8, 9 times or so. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan. If you ever listen to this, Jim Carrey, I'm sorry. But the greatest movie he ever did was The Majestic, and he does a serious role, and it's really kind of a love story. The plays focus on it. Barefoot in the Park, for those who are familiar with that. Romeo and Juliet. Phantom of the Opera. Les Miserables. You know, books are written about love. Song of Solomon. You know, some people call it the X-rated book of the Bible. Love Dare. The 5 Love Languages. Everyone is looking for love. If you're not looking for love, will you raise your hand? I don't want to lie about this, but I think it is. And I think everyone's looking for love possibly more than anything else. To love, to be loved, to be in that atmosphere where you know that you're loved. Because I think that the truth of the matter is lives are impacted more during a love relationship than any other time. Because we know it's right and good. We're created to be loved. We're created to love. Now, the really sad thing is as you're aware, many, many, many people go looking for love in the wrong places. And the sad part is they never really find true love. Instead, they find what I would call a cheap imitation. Pursuing that, or this, or that, or whatever in the world, looking for things to fulfill that gap, you know. Because when we were created by God, we're created with this space that only the love of God can fill. I believe that with all my heart. That's why I think a lot of times you tend to see people who aren't Christians that have a real issue with anger, and they try to fill it with things. They try to fill it with lust. They try to fill it with some kind of fulfillment for their ego. They try to fulfill it with finding acceptance from this person or that person, or power in the fact that they have this job that everybody looks up to, or this position, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, when we do that, it leads to false community. It leads to a non-spiritual false family. And all too often, it leads to broken relationships. There's only one place you can find true love. Can anybody guess what that is or who that is? It's God. 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is love. That is love defined. And that's the only way a marriage can succeed. That's the only way relationships can succeed. That's the only way community can succeed. Because it's all, as I've said so many times here, if you stick around here long enough, you're going to be hurt. There's people who have left this church because they've been hurt. So they say. And yet, sadly, they have chosen not to deal with that. But in love, you deal with the hurts. You deal with it because love says there's not going to be any broken relationship. Love says that we are going to to have a spiritual family. Love says that we're going to have a community where God is centered. And you know what's really cool about God being love? The last thing on his mind is to keep it. He has no desire to keep his love. He wants to give it away. He shares it. He gives it to everybody. He willingly gives himself, willingly gives who he is, willingly gives this person that is love. To all that will receive him. And he does it by his grace, and he does it because of who he is. He does it because he's just an amazing, wonderful person that is just, as we've talked about and been talking about, that just has this desire to have a big, big, big family. And I think God often lives with a broken heart, always lives with a broken heart, because the family's not as big as he would like. What's it say? Oh, that all would come unto his name. When he say to the tribe of Israel, which is also to spiritual Israel, it's like a mother hen, gather all of you. But he's available to us by his grace because we, and he will have that family. See, the interesting thing about God is he has revealed two extremely big truths and important truths about love. And you might even call them mind-boggling. You might even call them earth-shaking truths. First, he gives love unconditionally. If you ever, ever, ever feel like God doesn't love you, you need to just say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because that is the biggest lie. The biggest lie. He loves us unconditionally. He gives his love to us unconditionally. There's no condition. He doesn't say, I love you if. He just tells us, I love you. Even though we don't deserve it. And I think we heard that earlier in a song. Even though we came to the place where we really hated him. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. I mean, this is mind-boggling stuff. This is earth-shattering and earth-shaking truths. Things we need to meditate upon. And the second thing, and this is the harder one, he calls us to do likewise. To give his love away unconditionally. Now, that can be very difficult when somebody stomps on our heart. But God wants to pour his love into us, to fill us to overflowing, so that even in those moments, it pours out of us to everyone around us, to everyone we meet, to our neighbor. He wants us to be a conduit of his love. Above everything else, to all those around us, building family, building relationships, building community. See, love is so important that God mentioned the word love 339 times in the Old Testament, 212 times in the New Testament, for a total of 551 times. I've heard it said if God says it once, fine, twice, fine, but if he says it three times, he wants us to pay attention. 551 times is a whole lot more than three. Jesus said there's two great commandments, and I realize that some of this may be very familiar to us, probably is, and there's a possibility we go, well, yeah, I know that, but do we really? Are we walking in it 100%? There's no condemnation, but that's part of all walking out in sanctification. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Starting in verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments, the law and the prophets depend. Now that word depend, kremanumi, means this. The law and the prophets hangs onto love. They are tied together with love. And they only have meaning because of love. The law and prophets only have meaning because of love. We are to love God and our neighbors. We're to love everyone. All those we have relationship with and all those we don't have relationship with. Even those who might be called our enemies. See, Paul wrote a whole chapter about love in response to an extremely crazy church, the Corinthian church, explaining how, I mean, if you sum it up, if we want fruit in our lives, we must do everything out of love. I'm just going to read through it. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in the mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and complete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I don't think it takes a lot of smarts to figure out that love's pretty stinking important. That it's the basis of everything. That he really doesn't care if you have a gift in prophecy, if you don't do it out of love. That he doesn't really care if you have a gift of healing, if you don't do it out of love. He doesn't care what language you speak in, or the knowledge you have, or the wisdom, or whatever you are, or whoever you are, how great you are, if you don't do it out of love. It's fruitless. God places a huge amount of importance on love. So what does this word love mean? I want to look at the Greek word in both of these scriptures that I just read. First, the one out of Matthew 22, the great commandment. The Greek word is agapao. In keeping in line with what Christian taught us, it's the verb. It means to esteem, to love, to indicating a direction of the will. Finding one's joy in someone. And in 1 Corinthians 13, the word for love there is a noun. It's agape. It means love, affectionate regard, goodwill, benevolence. With reference to God's love, it is God's willful direction toward man. It involves doing what he knows is best for man and not necessarily what man deserves. As we are likewise to do. To have love, the noun, and to love the verb. And we can't love the verb without having love the noun. To willfully love and to do what is best for others, even if they don't want your love, even if they don't have a desire for love. And the third biggest word in here for love is the word phileo, which is also a verb, but it means, which indicates having feelings, warm affection for a thing, possession, a position, or some recognition. Did you notice something here between the differences between the words agape and phileo? Agapao and agape has nothing to do with feelings. The word feelings is not in the definition like it is for phileo. See, true love is not about feelings. It's about a choice. It's about going up to a person, and I wouldn't recommend this, okay? But going up to a person and saying, I don't care how much you hurt me. I don't care how much you don't like me. I choose by my will as a son or daughter of the living God to love you. Whoa. Isn't that what Jesus did? Just think about it. Put yourself in his position. You're standing there in the Garden of Gethsemane and everybody has left. You are absolutely alone, except with these fools that want to do away with you. He could have called down legions of angels and said, I'm done. I'm going back to the Father where I'm appreciated. Now talk about love. But that's what God is calling the church to do. It's part of the reason that the church has such a bad name today, because we are so much into legalism, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be this way, you got to be that way. You can't be in that kind of marriage. You can't be in that. And I'm not advocating sin, okay, folks? But I don't think God wants us to separate people and for us to turn our back upon them just because they may be walking in sin. Not in a New York heartbeat. True love is not about feelings. It's about choice. It's about decisions. It's about an act of will. It's to love, regardless of the person or the circumstances, and it's to be done actively and outwardly from ourselves toward others, being that conduit for God, letting his love flow through us. Because if you're like me, I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to make a choice. There's some commandments, but as we know, we can ignore commandments. But we have to make a choice to do the things that Christians are called to do. We are to think more highly of others than ourselves. We are to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to edify, to come alongside one another and build each other up. We are to interact humbly with people instead of through pride or arrogance. We are to serve others instead of ourselves, from friends to enemies, all demonstrating true love. Love, then that kind of love, I guarantee, will draw people into the church. That kind of love will create godly relationships, a godly community, spiritual family, and they will blossom. And again, I just want to say, granted, if left to ourselves, we might have a tough time loving as God wants us to love. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Besides that, God's grace is always sufficient. As we allow him to pour his love through that conduit of our lives and walk by his grace, we will see things happen. Love will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. So very important love is. I mean, think about where we'd be without God's love? What kind of relationships would you have? One of the things in my job and what I do here is to do funerals. And a lot of funerals can be a blessing, and a lot of them can be a real problem. Because you see sometimes anything but love. They can't wait to get their hands on the inheritance or to get ticked off. My own family, my mother and my aunt, after my grandmother's funeral, never talked to each other. Ever. They both passed away not talking to each other. And it's sad. It's just sad. And in that, my relationship with my cousins was broken. I have no idea where my two female cousins are. I am friends with my one male cousin, and we're starting to communicate a little bit, 30-something years later. Because there was a lack of love. Love is so very important. And the hardest part about love is we have to set ourselves aside. And we have to trust that God means it when he says to the effect that he will take care of the situation. He will right it. He's our defender. So how do we love? Well, there's two things. The first thing we have to do is admit that we have a difficult time loving. And no offense to anybody in this room, but everybody here would have to admit that. And it can be just downright difficult. It can be easy at times. You know, when somebody loves you, it's easy to love them. But of what value is it? The value is in loving somebody that doesn't love you. All too often, our flesh rises up in anger, wanting to get even. Guilty as charged, right? This was a hard one for me to go through. I had to repent a number of times as I put this together. I said it before, you guys only have to listen to it once. I have to listen to these messages several times as they start putting them together and they change. The flesh hates godly love. It just does. But praise God, blessed be the name of the living God. That's not who we are anymore. Don't let the flesh define who we really are, because we're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, new things have come. We're a born-again person. The second thing is, after admitting it, that we have a difficult time love, seek help from God. Cry out, God, love through me. Help me. Help me, oh God. I'd rather give this person the right hand of fellowship than love. It happened to me earlier this week. Lord, can I? Now, I say as a person, believe it or not, never been in a fight in 72 years. I always had a great mouth. I should have known in high school I was going to be a preacher, because I talked myself out of several of them. One guy even said to me once, boy, you're pretty wise. I was going to pound you into the ground, and now we're friends. I went, I don't know if we're friends, but I'm not pounded into the ground. We cry out for his grace to help us love when loving is not easy. Ask God to help us to be the conduit. Cry out to him. Fast if we need to. Pray. See, we, those of us who are born again, as I look around this room, I have no doubt that all of us in this room are born again, are in this amazing relationship with God, and we've changed. That's not who we are. We have the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit tells us to love more. So I'm very important to be full of his love so that it flows out of us. So how do we fill up with God's love? Seek God. Rest in God. Meditate on God and his word. Read his word. Pray for ourselves and each other. Contemplative prayer. Worship God in song. Pray in the Spirit. Trust God. Study God's word. Trust God. I'm going to go back to that. Believe what it says in the Bible. He loves you. End of subject. You really don't need to think about that anymore. Well, I don't know if God loves me. Well, of course he loves you. Read godly books, biblical teaching, abide in him, walk in humility, relationships, community, and family. It's one of the purposes of the church, so we can come alongside each other and put our arms around each other, encourage each other in God's love and the love we have for each other. Serve the Lord, believers, friends and family, and our enemies. Allow God's works to flow out of you. And all of these points boil down to one very huge point. We must center our lives on God by spending time with the triune God. Get rid of the priority system. There is no priority system. When you read the Bible, I don't see a priority system. I see God. We are to love God and allow his love to flow through us, and you'll be a great father. You'll be a great mother. You'll be a great friend. You'll be a great employee. You'll be a great boss. You'll be just good at everything you do as you just allow the love of God to flow through them. It's not just because we must, but when we receive this new heart that's talked about in Ezekiel 36:26, we receive the heart that was full of love. It came. It's there. When we were born again, we accepted Jesus. And all we're to do is to walk it out. And what we call sanctification, we're learning to walk more and more into who we really are, a person that loves freely and doesn't let anything get in our way in loving, becoming more and more mature in the whole thing about love. And if you haven't arrived unto perfection, well, don't worry about it. There's only one person that did. But I guarantee, if you're not walking in it perfectly when you die, God won't hold it against you. You'll be welcome in. You'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, and you will immediately know how to love perfectly as you fall on your face before the living God. Now, that may require us to jettison some things from our lives if they're interfering. There's things in our lives. One of the things I do on a periodic basis, and I look at things and I go, God, is this getting in the way of my relationship with you? And if it is, I want to get rid of it. We need to hold everything loosely. It's like Christian said, when did you, last week, Christian, was it? Okay. With the optical illusion, with the things around and so forth, where he talked about there's things that are, there's nothing wrong with them. But they can become sin if they get in the way of God. I don't think he said it that way, but I'll say it that way. Our hearts are conduits. We must continually go back to God so that they're filled to overflowing. Because if they're empty and somebody insults us, we're going to give them the right hand of fellowship. It may be verbal. But we need to let God fill them to overflowing so that God's love will naturally flow from us. If the worship team wants to come back up. But it'll enable us to love more like Christ loves. It'll enable us to become more and more who we really are in Christ. It will enable us to be God's children, the co-heirs with Christ, the ones that he's called us to do. It will enable us to be people who have love within us, to be people who are surrendering to God. We're centering our lives on him. We're viewing others as more significant than ourselves. We're walking humbly before God while serving others and doing the works that God has given us to do. People who are showing forth what I believe this world needs to see from Christians. Not what you are doing wrong. What you're doing is wrong and it's sin and you're going to hell. But what but we're going to love you regardless. I'm not saying there's not times you have to call sin, sin, okay? But I think sometimes we're willing to call sin, sin, because it puts up a wall where we don't have to deal with the person. That's what we're called to do, love, love, love. That's what we are encouraged to encourage each other to do. Love, love, love. Which we can only do by God's grace and Holy Spirit's help. Which we can only do as we pursue our God in every way. As we spend time with Jesus. As we focus our lives upon Him. As we surrender our lives to leading the Holy Spirit. Allowing Him to lead us into all truth and to love as God loves. You know, going back to Matthew 22, 37 and to 40. The great commandment. And just put it this way, loving, we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. As we love our God with everything we have, we will walk in godly relationship, godly community, and godly family. And here's a promise. The world around us, the world around you will be impacted. It will change. It will rock. Look at Acts 2, 42 to 47. Those things didn't happen because people didn't like each other. They happened because there was love and it was pouring out everywhere. And we will be used by God to build His true church and kingdom. Amen. I just want to lead us in a prayer. Kind of just asking God about altar call or whatever, but again, there's no condemnation. I'm not trying to do that, but all of us need help in this area. We all do. I do. You know, the words that cross my mind for me is, as sinners, I'm chief. Do you know what Paul said? You know? So let's just pray after me, if you would. Father, we humbly come before you. And we seek your face. And we thank you that you are a God of love. And that you have chosen not to keep that love, but to pour it out upon us abundantly. And abundantly and abundantly. And Father, we ask that you would help us through your grace that is sufficient and by the leading of your Holy Spirit to walk more and more into the example that you have set. That we might love and love more deeply and more passionately all those you have put in our lives, even the unlovely and those that we might call our enemies. We need your help, God. We want to do it, but we need your help. And we know you will give it to us. Because that's who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.